This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, D-Aliens. This is Miraz, your executive producer of the DA Show. Yeah, I'm going to say sidekick on the DA Show. And we all know the king of all work ethic. This right here, this is the best of today's DA Show. Listen up.
That they have signed Cam Newton to a one-year, low-money, incentive-laden deal. Now, Cam, of course, didn't have much interest on the open market when free agency rolled around, and now we are nearly into July and he was still available. Why? His health. With the pandemic, teams have been unable to work him out or have him undergo physicals or evaluation from their own medical staffs. Maybe this would be different if this was a normal offseason. Perhaps Cam would be flying and zigzagging across the country and getting a clean medical report from some team's doctors, and maybe he would already been signed. But this offseason, not so much. So the Patriots, being opportunistic as they normally are, saw a undervalued asset in the market and decided to sign said undervalued asset. Could this be a huge win for the Patriots? Could this be a huge win for Cam Newton? Why did Cam ultimately decide on a one-year low money deal? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Cam Newton will drop into the gun with Tolbert to his left. He moves him to his right. On third and goal, Cam Newton will keep soaring for the goal line. And Newton is in for the touchdown. He stuck the ball across the plane of the goal line. It is a touchdown as Superman flies for six.
I think the concern with the injury was always there. But when you look at the deal, it's a one-year deal. Not a lot of money committed to him. So there is some out in case he doesn't respond to treatment. But you hear he's made some good progress. You hear he's going to be okay. And I think that was kind of what's holding the whole thing up.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Kevin Kugler, play-by-play voice of Westwood One. And that was Pete Prisco, NFL insider for CBS Sports HQ. Look, I think this is the proverbial win-win for both sides. For the Patriots, they get a former MVP on short money, and so there's no real risk here, less than $2 million of base pay. So if they bring in Cam Newton, and ultimately he's not very healthy or he's not very effective and he doesn't play much for the Patriots or is simply a backup to Jared Stidham this year, then so what? The Pats only spent less than $2 million to bring in a potential former MVP, a potential starting quarterback, and no harm, no foul for the Pats. So I get it. Does Cam Newton fit football-wise with the offense of the Patriots? Not really, which is why I consistently doubted that this would ever happen, because football-wise, Cam hasn't been the quick drop, the read a million different wide receiving options, all timing based, which the Patriots offensive scheme has been under Brady the last couple of years, and which I assume they wanted Jared Stidham to run at least some type of variation of this upcoming season. But from a football standpoint, what's the risk in bringing in a guy like Cam for less than $2 million if he does end up being healthy and effective? It's a very small risk for the Patriots. So at that point, it's not really that big a deal monetarily if he doesn't fit in football-wise or if he isn't healthy. So you get it from a Patriots standpoint. The bigger question is, for Cam, why take such a little money, small money, one-year deal at this point in your career? And I think ultimately the reason is because of this offseason and nobody being familiar with the free agents out there because you can't bring them in, I think what Cam was doing was saying, you know what, let's mitigate the risk here. I could go through the entire offseason and not have a job because nobody is comfortable with an unknown commodity. And I could go into the season, and again, if the season is maybe slightly discombobulated, maybe there's some games that are canceled, maybe you don't get a full 16-game schedule in, again, I'm not going to be earning any money because there's going to be all of these unknowns around the roster itself, let alone the free agents. So I think Cam said, if I can get a deal now, then let me take the deal now. And for Cam, going to the Patriots means a chance at a successful team. That if there's going to be a rehab for Cam, if there's going to be a hook him up to the rejuvenation machine, if there's going to be a comeback for Cam Newton this season, go to a place where they usually get the most out of veterans. If there's football left in Cam Newton's body, the Patriots will find a way to tap into that. So it's a smart move by Cam. It's not going to a dysfunctional organization that may or may not have a good read on his talent or his skill set or put him in a position to win. If there's going to be a position to succeed, the Patriots will find it with Cam Newton. Here's the risk. Is that Cam comes in to New England and actually wins the starting job and is the starter throughout the season, and that he just leaves in a big money deal after the year because he gets a big suitor. I mean, look at what Ryan Tannehill commanded from the Tennessee Titans after basically half a season in Tennessee. If Cam actually plays a full season in New England and looks good, he's going to get big money in the open market, and that's not the type of money the Patriots are usually willing to spend. And so the Patriots could be in this thing for 1 year on Cam. And they could have a good deal today, but it would again just delay the inevitable of finding the long-term replacement at quarterback. So that's the risk, I think, for the Pats. It's not financially. It's actually if this thing works out and he leaves in a big money contract to the offseason next year, you then have wasted this season in not getting Stidham those snaps. But look, maybe that's fine for them because they'll just spin the wheel of quarterback next year as well. But from both sides, I think it makes sense. Cam finds a landing spot that's going to hopefully for him take advantage of his skill set of putting him in a winning position. The Patriots have very little risk here. If Cam Newton's body can't hold up, if he gets injured early in the season, if he's just not that effective, and so Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback, they've only spent $2 million to do it. So I think it does make sense on both fronts. One thing I know is that the Patriots absolutely held on to this news until today to swallow up the, yes, we were punished again by the NFL news. As it gets handed down that the NFL, when the Patriots sent their camera crew to Cincinnati to, what? We illegally taped an opponent? We didn't know. That news comes down also last night that the NFL would dock the Patriots a third-round draft pick and fine them more than $1 million and ban that camera crew from being on the road again this season. It just so happened the Patriots announced a sexier, bolder move that will probably consume the day's worth of news around the Patriots. Isn't that interesting how that ended up? You know for a fact the Pats held on to this Cam Newton move until the other news was announced and then said, okay, and let's drop it now. Cam Newton's a Patriot.
It's how they do business. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. When I saw this news, I said, my fine fleshy friend can finally put away the tinfoil hat on Trevor Lawrence. For months, the Patriots are tanking. They're trying to be bad. They don't want to win football games because Belichick wants to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're tanking for Trevor. And now they sign Cam Newton potentially to be their starting quarterback. Mraz, you can put away the conspiracy theories. The Patriots aren't trying desperately to lose.
Well, I'm very thankful they did this because this also proves I wasn't so crazy, DA, because to me, everybody was taking the Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer thing at face value and going, well, they're the Patriots. Look, they believe in these guys, and that never sat well with me. I looked at that roster, and I especially looked at a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham, who we don't know enough about, who wasn't highly touted, and thought, there's no way. There's no way they think they could compete like this. Now that they signed Cam Newton, it shows Bill Belichick never truly trusted that situation. They are going all in to try to win games. And, look, if it flops and Cam Newton's not healthy and they're stuck with that situation, well, then the tinfoil hat could come back on. They lose a lot of games, and then maybe they're in the mix for Trevor Lawrence anyway.
You have really graduated to a senior-level sports talk host here. You took something that you were obviously blatantly wrong on and spun it into, see how I was right twice.
I never said that, okay?
Twice. See what Mraz just did? What a shell game here. He was extraordinarily wrong on the theory about tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And what Mraz just did was said, see, I was right. They never trusted Jarrett Stidham anyway. And if they do lose, I was right. They were trying to lose for Trever Lawrence.
It all adds up. It all adds up.
No,
that's what's
doesn't.
Going through my head.
No,
yes,
no,
it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, they signed Cam Newton because they were never trying to lose a million games for Trevor Lawrence.
I agree.
You agree you were wrong.
But I guess my right theory was my theory on why the heck would they be going Jarrett Stidham led me down the Trevor Lawrence road, and they very clearly never trusted it. Well, D.A., how many guests have we had on from Boston that kept saying, no, they love this room with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer? I mean, we've had, I feel like, five NFL guests in this pandemic say that. And every time we had him on, I sat there, and it only confused me more. And that's what led me down the Trevor Lawrence tanking road, because that never made sense. And very clearly, we see reports this morning that Bill Belichick's been calling about Cam Newton and getting information for weeks, if not months now. So, again, it shows me Bill Belichick was playing the hoodwinked game. Everybody didn't know until today. All of a sudden, he's been calling around for this long. He's wanted Cam Newton and wanted a better quarterback situation for a long time.
Yeah, every time we had anybody that came on that loved Jarrett Stidham or told us that they loved Jarrett Stidham, we both rolled our eyes.
No
We're
way.
Like, come on, are you kidding me? There's no way that Belichick absolutely, quote, loves Jarrett Stidham. But it does go to show you that going into this season, their intent was not to make sure they were bad.
Then I will admit that. I will admit that.
Okay. Now, here's the question, since we, of course, as a DA show, have a overwhelming loathing of the Patriots. Are we okay with Cam now? Do we actually kind of root for Cam Newton? Or is it that we hope that Cam fails just like everybody else with the Patriots?
So Bogus tweeted this last night. It actually made me a little sick. I personally like Cam Newton. I've always liked Cam Newton because of the handing the football to the kid thing. That being said, no, Cam Newton's the enemy now. There's no way I root for Cam Newton in a Patriot uniform. There's no way I sit there and go, now I like a Patriot quarterback. No. The Patriots have seen another success. The last thing we want is now a seamless transition where Cam Newton becomes MVP Cam Newton again, and they're in Super Bowls.
Right.
No, go away. Right. I hope Cam Newton is good enough to tease them into the middle ground where they're not getting a great quarterback and they're not successful to winning Super Bowls. That's what. So if what we're rooting for Cam Newton for is to win 8-9 games, then I'm on board. But I'm certainly not rooting for Cam Newton to be this MVP success story and they go 14-2. No chance.
Yeah, I think best case scenario is that Cam Newton goes 10-6. That's not good enough to even make the playoffs because the Bills go 11-5 or something, win the division. 10-6 doesn't get them into the wild card. But Cam has a good enough season to where he gets signed by somebody else in the offseason next year.
Right.
And then the Patriots are back to square one with Jarrett Stidham or whatever garbage quarterback that they have to deal with.
Exactly. And by the way, I know we have plenty to get to with the Patriots. I just want one more statement on the record. Last night on Twitter after the sign came down, can you explain to me when the Buffalo Bills became the 85 Bears? I mean, everybody. Oh, the Bills are still the. How great are the Bills? Can we pump the brake on the Buffalo Bills a little bit here?
I mean, yeah, you know what's interesting about the Bills is that they have such a vocal fan base that have been so desperate for winning for years that the Bills fan base has been overly optimistic about their chances and the Patriots kind of fading back. So Bills fans, Bills Mafia on Twitter has been unbelievably verbal, which you could understand. I think the problem is there's obviously national media that is placating to that fan base because they're very vocal. And so there's been national media bending over backwards to give the Bills more credit than they've earned thus far.
Exactly. I'm reading this list. And I go, what did I miss on the Bills? I mean, they threw up all over themselves versus the Texans. Now everybody loves them.
Look, there is nothing that I would love better than the Buffalo Bills dominating this division over the next 10 years. That would be amazing. But it is very premature to simply assume that the Bills are just going to run roughshod of the AFC East now and own it for the next 10 years. I'd love to see it happen, but we are well premature of making that some type of declarative statement here.
For sure.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
So on this date 3 years ago, June the 29th, 2017, My trash was people that go overboard posting their pets on social media. And boy, did Mraz get perturbed by that. Here's this dated mothership history. The dog is just worrying about, when do I eat, where do I poop? When do I eat, where do I poop? And I got a picture of these damn dogs on every feed from everybody I follow. It's just too much, this affection for dogs. I get it. I like dogs. I don't get having your life revolve around dogs and the pictures of the dogs and publicly posing the picture of the dogs. It's the same thing with babies. Every baby looks the same. I'm sorry, your baby's not that interesting. The baby doesn't say anything. The baby hasn't accomplished anything. The baby's not changing. The baby is just a baby. I can't take the dog Twitter. I can't take the baby Twitter. I'm sorry, Mraz. I can't do it.
Epic trash job.
You are heartless, yeah. Gutless, and soulless. And I'm going to just tell you this right now because you're not thinking big picture here. A dog is man's best friend. That saying exists for a reason. A dog is now a part of your family. But unlike us humans that can live to 60, 70, 80, 90, these dogs have 10 years lifespan. If you're lucky, 15 years, in some cases 17 years. You better soak up every opportunity to have a picture with those dogs because guess what? When they're dead and they're thrown in that incinerator at the animal hospital, all you're going to have is those pictures to scroll through on your phone of them eating a snack, of them eating on the beach, and you're going to cry and reminisce and remember. That's how you remember your dog in those happy moments, whether they realize they're taking those pictures or not. If you only have one or maybe two pictures of those dogs, guess what? You didn't enjoy their life. So I'm sorry that you're not Mr. Dog Person. I'm sorry that you have no freaking heart. But how dare you go after people that like dogs that much? Because it's about them and it's about remembering
like
them when they're
the
gone.
Like the dogs all you want. Keep the pictures to yourself. Why does everybody else have to see your
you
damn
pictures?
You know why?
Because it's 2017 and nobody's got the freaking dispensing
keep
Polaroid
camera.
Keep your
own pictures on your phone.
And then what if they get deleted? What if you drop your phone in an ocean? What if your memory card is shot? You got to upload them.
Oh, that's your fault. That's not my fault.
Facebook.
Fault.
No, Facebook, Instagram,
upload
and Twitter.
Upload them to your computer.
Twitter, they're the old, and what if your house goes on fire and your computer burns to the
Twitter,
ground?
So,
they need to exist
so
on the cloud.
So Twitter and Instagram is where you're going to keep all the pictures for the rest of your life of everybody.
That's where everybody
I don't see you taking a picture of your dad every single day. Your dad's going to die before your dog dies.
I got enough pictures of Pops, and I got enough, and I have 80 years, hopefully, I can live with Pops, and I can understand where he's at.
We don't care about your dogs.
Okay, so then delete the dog people then, and stop trashing them, because it ain't right. They only got so little time with their dogs, and you're ruining them.
Why can't
your girlfriend has dash hounds that climb ramps like they're Tony Hawk, and you're gonna bash her for taking pictures? That ain't right, man.
You think I like them?
Yeah, but you should, because they're beautiful little pinching hounds.
Hell hath no fury, quite like Mraz in challenging him on dog pictures, which is pretty amazing because the only thing that has superseded pictures of Eli on his social media feeds has been pictures of his baby. He is squarely in what my trash was, the target of my trash 3 years ago. It is all of the people that incessantly post pictures of their pets and their babies and their pets and their babies. And look, here's the harsh truth, everybody. I mean, look, this is just the harsh truth. Largely, we don't care about your baby or your pet. We hit like because we're supposed to hit like on those pictures. You know, by and large, we just don't care that much because everybody's got a baby and everybody's got a pet. And look, I have done the same thing. I have absolutely posted a picture of Rosie the cat, and I realize what I'm doing is that most people don't care about Rosie the cat, but they're going to hit like because that's the polite thing to do on babies and cats, babies and dogs, dogs and babies. It's just what we do. It's what society does.
Every playground should be for babies, top to bottom, but it's not my fault.
And social media can be really terrible and really negative. So I do think that a sprinkling of a baby here, a dog there, a cat there is helpful to bring people's spirits up. I mean, people are attracted to YouTube videos of cats and dogs and babies. And so, you know, there certainly is a value here. But we just don't care about your babies or your dogs the same way that you think we do. And you care because they're your babies and your dogs and your cats. And this is who your life is. And this is what your life revolves around. And you think that they're the most beautiful creature ever. And the babies and the dogs and the cats, they just bring so much joy to your life. And I get it. I love Rosie the cat. She brings incredible joy, incredible joy to my life. Incredible joy to my life. Really, truly. I mean, I wake up and I'm so happy to see her and we go away and we come back and, you know, I miss her for those couple days. I get it. But I know that nobody cares about Rosie the cat the same way I do. So, you know, the unfortunate truth is that we all hit like on these things because we're supposed to. It doesn't really mean people care that much about your babies and your cats and your dogs. And it's just, it's such a plague. It's just such a social media plague that everybody just posts like a picture every day of their dog or of their baby or their cat. Like, we just don't care that much. We don't even care enough about the subject, like the person that is tweeting that or putting it on Instagram. We don't even care that much to see them every day, let alone their babies or their dogs or their cats every single day.
I think you're missing the point, DA. And the point is there are no more actual photo albums. So by posting on Instagram or Facebook, it is maybe not for everybody to like necessarily, but also for you to keep these pictures in some sort of cloud as it goes on, because nobody has the stupid scrapbooks of the kids growing up anymore. And this is a way to reflect. You could click back years on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. The times in which we keep pictures have changed. It's all digitized, but it is public for everybody to like as well. It's not about the likes.
Do you still have your MySpace page?
I do not. That's different.
No, because one day Facebook or Twitter or Instagram is not going to exist, and then you won't have those pictures either.
Oh, they're existing forever.
Wrong.
Forever.
That's a hard wrong right there.
No way.
When you are 80 and you want to see pictures of your dog, guess what? Instagram ain't going to be around. I hate to break it to you. No. I hate to break it to you, but it ain't going to be around.
Presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Your best audio of the day begins with Calais Campbell of the Ravens. He believes that Baltimore primed for a deep run.
It's a great situation to be in. You know, the team is very, very talented. I mean, you look at Baltimore's roster up and down, and it's talent everywhere, you know. And then throughout the draft, we got even stronger in some of the positions where we needed some help. This is one of those times where, you know, I've been playing football for 12 years, and I've been close a bunch, you know, playing, what, 3 championship games, 1 Super Bowl. But I haven't been able to win it yet, you know. And so I feel like, you know, this team, as talented as it is, you know, this is probably going to be the best shot I have.
That's from SiriusXM NFL Radio. And Calais Campbell has always been a huge difference maker everywhere that he's gone. So for the Ravens, he's the same type of guy, a veteran leader, a vocal leader, a guy that shows you the way, that has been around the block. And I believe Calais Campbell when he says this might be my best chance to win a Super Bowl. Look, the Ravens could have been in a Super Bowl last year. Of course, the Tennessee Titans went in and punched him in the mouth. And Lamar Jackson had a really bad day in that divisional round game. but the Ravens were fantastic last year. They were the best team of the AFC by record. And this year is a crapshoot in a lot of ways. I mean, would it surprise anybody if the best teams in the NFL had clunky seasons and didn't quite look as crisp as they could have or did last year? Wouldn't surprise me. But if you're asking me the best team of the AFC, look, I think you have to put the Chiefs there because of just how brilliant Patrick Mahomes is. And of course, that they're the defending Super Bowl champions. But the Ravens are right there with them. The Ravens are a fantastic team. They're well coached top to bottom, offense, defense, quarterback, running game, linebackers. I mean, they just have everything that you need to win a lot of games. So Calais Campbell's not lying when he says we've got a great chance for a Super Bowl run. Here is Jets head coach Adam Gase on the reports that Jamal Adams wants out, and part of the reason is that he has a bad relationship with his head coach.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here, and you know, we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And you know, to me, we've always got along well, and there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about, you know, on and off the field type topics. It's a tough part of the business. And, you know, our job is to work through, you know, difficult times and tough situations and find solutions.
You can't hide from Adam Gase's eyes.
Adam Gase is such a weird duck. He is such a bizarre, weird guy that didn't have good people skills, so it doesn't surprise me that there are players that don't like him. He's a hard line guy. I've talked to people that have known him, covered him, and been behind the scenes with him, and what I gather is that Adam Gase is okay one-on-one, but around a lot of people he's really awkward. But also, he doesn't have great people skills, so you really have to know him. And if you don't really know him, he's short, he can be curt, he can be impatient, and because of that temperament, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way if you don't know him. Now, I guess there's people that know him, like Peyton Manning, that swear by him, and I guess that's how he gets a second head coaching job in the NFL after doing nothing in Miami. But with Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell both basically admitting that they don't like the guy, I think it's hard to envision a locker room that is all pulling in the same direction, because I don't think Adam Gase manages personalities very well. And finally, here is Bobby Valentine, former Major League Baseball manager, envisioning the three batter rule implemented this year in Major League Baseball, leading to a lot more intentional walks.
To get the pitcher out of the game in the three batters and turn it over to the next pitcher for the next three batters. You know, leadoff guy gets a double and the next guy makes an out. I'll bet half of the time there's an intentional walk just to go to the bullpen. I think that that's going to be as tough a decision as any manager's ever had, and without a lot of chance and trial and error because it's a short season, I think it's going to backfire on a lot of guys and be the reason that they're not in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I like the three-batter rule. I've always felt like baseball is at its best when there's high-leverage situations. That's usually late in games when one batter, one pitch could define the entire game, the season, the series. And there's more high leverage situations when you're forcing pitchers to have to pitch in tight spots. You know, with what Tony La Russa did was, in manipulating the bullpen the way that he did in the 80s and 90s, he gave the rest of baseball this blueprint on how to make every pitcher comfortable. Okay, we're only going to bring you in at the top of an inning with a clean sheet, nobody on. That's how we're going to close. And so all saves are going to be three outs, top of the ninth or bottom of the ninth. You come in, nobody's on base, we'll set you up for that. So you have to succeed. Or you're not really great against this guy, or you're not really great against lefties. That's okay. We'll take you out. We'll bring in one guy to pitch to this one batter, and then we'll bring in the next guy to be comfortable for the next guy, the next batter. And we will manipulate and short all of these situations. And when every pitcher is comfortable, all I got to do is get three pitches here. All I got to do is strike out this guy. All I got to do is get through this one batter. All I got to do is get through this half inning. It takes away the high leverage situations with some stress. And what you're doing here with three batters is you're creating stress situations. Are you doing it artificially? Well, yeah, of course. But at least you're creating those stress situations. So I like it. I do like it. That is your sound check. Now, we have two raging controversies here within the DA show walls today. This just happened right now. As you know, we have a list. Their faces are tattooed on the wall of the DA show's rafters of our banned people from the show. That includes Joey Chestnut. That includes Richard Justice. That includes He Who Shall Not Be Named, whose jersey had been taken down from the rafters. There's a few people that just cannot make the show. And Bobby V was one of those guys, is one of these guys. Now, Pete the Body is in charge of soundcheck every day, and Pete the Body has included that clip about Bobby V. Mraz is hot. Mraz believes this has been a violation of the DA show's bylaws. Mraz, please state your case.
Yo, I'm not happy right now, so I'm going to try to be as mature as possible. I understand that times are a little difficult on the show. I understand that three of us are doing the show from home, and we have those guys like Pete and Connor working hard, getting into the New York City and doing this. So I respect those guys. And I know that we don't have the freshest of sound every day, so maybe it's a little more slim pickings than usual on soundcheck when no game's being played. But I know that a lot of time has passed. The fact remains, and I have no problem admitting this, Bobby Valentine dislikes me so much for blowing me off on guest spots and not liking that I called him out on it with you on these airwaves that he tried to get me to lose my job. That's how much he hates my guts. So we all made an agreement. Upper management, you, I, me, we won't talk about Bobby Valentine ever again. I really wish I wasn't talking about it right now. But when we play him on the show after we banned him, that is Robbie Alomar spitting in an umpire's face. That is me being handcuffed, can do nothing about it back here, a loogie being shot at both of my retinas. There is no place for Bobby Valentine on this show. I would even say Bobby Valentine could be the biggest story of the day. I would do 4 hours ignoring it. That's how little Bobby Valentine belongs on this show. For him to find a cut into soundcheck, I think it's a complete lack of disrespect. Maybe us being a little lack of aware. I know this is going to annoy those guys back there because I know they're working hard, but we have to be in this together as a team. We talk about Foxhole guys, Bobby Valentine and soundcheck. Are you kidding me?
Well, number one, I highly doubt Bobby V will ever be the biggest story in sports ever again, so I think we've dodged that bullet.
Okay.
Number two, just so we're all clear on how hard Mraz has worked compared to the rest of the guys, today we have Todd Zalecki coming up on the show next hour.
Good book.
MLB.com. Now, Pete the Body Bilotti.
Yes, sir.
Would you care to defend having Bobby V in soundcheck?
Well, I thought it was a very riveting cut.
Oh, Pete.
That's it?
Pete, that's your defense?
That's the defense?
If Mraz doesn't want to talk about Bobby V, why is he talking about him now?
Oh, don't you play that game, young man. Why am I talking about him now? I'm responding to a lack of foxhole and ethics by the show. We have a banned list for a reason. And I would argue, by the way, of all the batters and everything we've taken down, all the Reggie Bush Heismans we've wiped off, Bobby Valentine is the one without any flexibility. If Bobby V had gotten his way, Connor Green would be producing the show right now. Now, maybe that would make for a better show. Huh. Maybe everybody would prefer that.
Bobby V's on next.
Stop it. Pete, look, it's a mistake. Whoever put him in there, and it might have been Connor, by the way, who wants my job, put it in there. That being said, it's a mistake. It's an absolute mistake. And now Kaplan brings up a good point. I should have read the sound checklist at 5:40 and squashed this. So I have to own that. But I don't know how any of you guys are looking at me like I'm nuts right now. This is a mistake. And the fact, DA, that your first response when Bobby V was played was to go on a two-minute response to the cut instead of just saying, wait a minute, why are we playing Bobby V? To me, I find it to be a little disservice to forget our workmanship, our friendship.
Well, number one, I would never allow Bobby V to be booked on the show. Okay, so I'm not ever going to talk to Bobby V ever again. That will never happen. Bobby Valentine has been struck from my personal relationship or a visit on the show forever. And if I see him at some type of event, I will absolutely not talk to Bobby Valentine. That is my word.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I don't know if playing a clip of his is the same. I'd have to think about that. It kind of didn't strike me that being banned means you couldn't be a clip and sound check. I guess I would ask, as executive producer of the DA show, this is a segment on the show that you've been alerted to for the better part of 2 hours. Does this mean that you actually don't read the topic lists or the sound check lists or the production stuff?
It's fair.
Time out. I do send the topic list. I sent all the topic lists.
Then I resend it with the organization of when we're going to talk about things, et cetera.
Absolutely. And I went through everything. I even spoke to Pete because there was original exemption on the topic list that we discussed. But when it came to soundcheck and this date and mothership history, yes, I did not read soundcheck today. I have no doubt about it. I did not read it. And I did read this date and mothership history, and that's how I knew it was going to be the dog baby thing. So that's on me. I should have clicked it. I don't know why I didn't click it.
Do you usually click it?
For the most part, I'd be lying if I told you I clicked soundcheck single day. I mean, because I'm sitting here, I'm listening to clips anyway.
Doing anything over there.
I'm doing a lot.
All right, go through your test there as compared to when you were here.
Pete, first of all, okay, we want to play that game? Okay.
Yes.
All right, here we go, guys. You ready to play this game? Because Pete has asked me to play the game.
Let's play the feud.
I send the topic list every night, as I did when we were working in studio. DA organized the topic list. We usually have a pre-show meeting, but it has changed, obviously, because of this. So DA organizes the topic list. I still have sent it. I usually, when I'm in studio, put the cold open together. I obviously cannot do that. In studio, put the epic fail together. I am still doing that back from here. I still do the best of show back from here like I do. And as well as booking the guests and all of that. So really the only thing that
Todd Zalecki coming up next hour.
He wrote the Roy Halladay book. We talked about it at the E60. I thought that'd be a nice spot this week. Anyway.
Hopefully Todd's not listening right now. Or
I am doing,
next hour.
In essence, every single thing I usually do with the exception of putting the cold open. The ironic thing is when we switched to mornings in January, DA, now get this one. The one thing Pete took on extra was putting together sound check. What did we just hear? We heard sound check. Pete, ask me. I want you to answer. Who put together sound check today? Was it you or Connor?
First of all, that did not happen in January. I did not get the responsibility of putting together sound check. So
yes,
that's
you did.
In your little mind.
No, you
second
did.
Second of all, nope, that did not happen. So let's go back and take a look at that.
Just
also,
answer the question, Pete.
You're
who
supposed
put together
to put
sound
together
check?
You're supposed to put together the podcasts. For the hours, and you don't
so
do
you
that.
Dance around the question. See, this is if I was you right now dancing around the question, I would be assaulted by DA. The difference was we started coming in now an hour before the show instead of 2 hours before the show or an hour and a half because it was tighter time doing the morning, and you said, I'm going to take on soundcheck.
I did not
now
that
say we were
that.
Out of the
what
studio,
are you talking about?
That's what we were doing before the pandemic. You were making soundcheck.
I was not
and
making
now you're not. And
you
now
you got to go back into your records, buddy.
You buddied me?
Yeah.
Pete, you do less now without the
sound
check.
Oh, I do
check.
Less. Okay. All right. I'm not here tomorrow.
That's not what I mean. I mean, you're having Connor do the sound check, and he made a mistake with Bobby V, and you're putting that on me.
I don't see your fat ass coming in here to work in the studio. I don't see you getting up off the chair. You're constantly going to get your Special K and your breakfast. I've had enough of you. All right? So unless you want to come in, don't bother me or Connor.
This feels
pat it
with serious.
You.
I mean,
so
anybody
real.
Else want to care to mediate here, or are you just going to leave us out on an island? I'm acknowledging there was a mistake made by me not reading soundcheck. Hands up, I should have read it. But there is no acknowledgement from back in that studio that they mailed it in by putting Bobby V in without thinking, oh, yeah, he's banned.
Oh, we mailed it in. Okay. All right, let's see Thursday and Friday.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Bogus, take it away.
Thanks, Pete. Your headlines.
That's it? Nobody has a final answer on who's to blame? Well, this is all on me?
I wanted to jump in and drop the bomb that it was Connor's fault because Pete delegated, but then you did it for me, and it ended perfectly because now Pete hates you with the fires of a thousand hells. So we all win.
I mean, is it possible here that Connor did not know that Bobby V was suspended, was banned from the show, and that we've all become really comfortable delegating to Connor because A, he's awesome, B, he never complains, C, he does everything really, really well. And so we've all just kind of assumed Connor's got it. And in the middle of pandemic, over the last 3.5 months, when we're all scattered in a million places, when I send audio in a topic sheet, I know that Mraz isn't editing it. It's usually Connor editing it. And Connor, I'm guessing Pete trusts implicitly, and that Connor does, I mean, every day we ask him to do something, he just crushes it. And
he's
so
awesome at it, yes.
So is it possible that he didn't know that Bobby V was suspended, and so he just put this on there, and then nobody double-checked it? Like, you didn't see the sound check? Pete didn't check it? Because Pete does know that Bobby V is suspended. You knew that, Pete. I know that you know that.
Oh, I know. I know that.
So is it just possible that we put so much on Connor's plate and we trust him implicitly that we all drop the ball here?
No, I saw it, D.A., but also, I part of me wants to see what happens on the air with things. And this was something I wanted to see what happened with. And look what happened.
Oh, content.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so this is a strategic maneuver by Pete.
So you're that annoyed with me in pandemic that you knew it would tick me off, so you did this to me. And you got me all hot and angry.
Well, look
and
what I'm we got. 10 minutes of content.
Oh, now this guy's producing vows.
Content
now.
Is king.
By the way, Connor's in our G-chat, still radio silence for me. No answers from the little guy.
But I do think that we've all taken it for granted that Connor just does all of this stuff because we're all scattered, and he's been one of the glue guys here.
Of course. He's held a lot of this together. You can tell the difference in days when Connor's here and when Dave Shepard's here. Put it that way. There's a very big difference.
Maybe we shouldn't just take him for granted so much, and maybe we should all be working on our own ends harder to make sure it doesn't always fall into Connor saving the show.
I learned a lesson in the last 20 minutes. It's that don't ever not read sound check. That was a very valuable lesson I just learned. So
yeah, and maybe, you know, if you're the executive producer, maybe you go over a bit with a fine-tooth comb, like, does this work? Do we have this audio? Let me double-check to make sure Connor has this. Does he need any help? And maybe on the other end, Pete goes, okay, let me communicate with Mraz. Are we good on this? Do we make sure Connor has this? And maybe I go, hey, are we tight on this? Do we make sure we have this? I mean, maybe we're just assuming Connor's got it because he's always got it, and that's unfair to him.
I agree. I will say there are many days, and Connor will back me up on this, that I either DM him on Twitter. If I see certain audio I think will work for soundcheck, I am always pumping Connor with stuff, as well as every once in a while when I find a stun that I think we should do, I send it over to Bogus as well. So I am constantly, when the show is not on the air, when I see stuff, sending stuff to guys that I know can handle it for the show. So it's not like I sit on my fat ass, as Pete said, and I don't do anything but eat Special K. I am constantly working throughout the day. But my goodness. Hey, Connor, we still see your silence. Script another Trash Tuesday, buddy.
Connor has weighed in via G-Chat and simply says, I was sabotaged by Bobby V.
It's done.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And right on cue, here's a great example of our teamwork, because normally I find the stories for stunned, but today this one was found by Sean, sent to me yesterday, and right on the air it goes, because we're all one big happy family. I don't know anymore what's open or closed in Louisiana.
I know here in New York, my local like community pool is open, the beach is open, so there are ways to cool off. Maybe in Louisiana you can't do that just yet, which is why 26-year-old Kevin Wise of Slidell, Louisiana, ran into a Bass Pro Shops last week and jumped into their huge display pool in the middle of the store, swam around long enough to be taped by a fellow customer, then got out and left the store. For some reason, which has not yet to be explained, he went back to the store, and that's when he was received his citation and his arrest for causing damage. The problem here is, and I guess the store was not going to do anything until it realized the cost that has to empty the tank and clean it to refill it because a human jumped in it. And that cost is in the thousands and thousands of dollars. So now, for like petty damages, Mr. Wise has been arrested.
Yeah, this happened outside of Shreveport. And for people that haven't been to a Bass Pro Shop, they have this huge aquarium with fish swimming in it in the middle of it. You know, Bass Pro Shops is for fishing and for hunting and for outdoorsman stuff. So this guy jumps into this aquarium, and I got to say, this is a little scary for me. You know, when I go swimming, I have this imagination where I wonder what's swimming under me, and that always freaks me out. And so if I'm in the middle of a lake, I feel like there's bass or something swimming under me. If I'm in the ocean, it's like there's always like this big fish, like a barracuda or something in my mind swimming under me and just waiting for my little, you know, my feet to go under or whatever. And I worry about that stuff. And this guy, you can actually see the fish under him. Now, they're swimming away because they're scared of him. But still, it takes a little bit of courage to dive into something when you know there's a bunch of swimming animals that are actually going to be, like, touching your body parts. Also, number two, yeah, you've got to drain this whole thing because you don't know what was on this guy. First of all, it could be coronavirus. But second of all, I mean, he's jumping in with shorts and sandals and a T-shirt. You don't know if this guy is showered or he's sweating all day. So he can't be in this aquarium with all of these fish. Now you got to take the fish out. You got to drain the whole thing. You got to sterilize it, put all the chemicals in it, fill it back up again. That's a whole thing that we don't realize. Bass Pro Shops, it's not like you jumped into a pond and you just get out of it. This is like a very scientifically, you know, kind of manipulated water ecosystem that they have in there. Anything? No, that's it? Okay.
Sorry, Pete just told me to break in my ear, so I was pulling back and letting you finish this one out.
It's amazing. He tells everyone but the person talking on the radio to stop talking and go to break. So me and Sean sit back, but no one tells DA to go to break.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to go to break here.
What's going on this morning?
I had such a wonderful day on Friday, and I thank the guys here on the show for covering for me. I had not taken a day off since pandemic began, and it was because I love doing this show and I love being around the guys, and I wanted every day to feel normal for everybody, for you, the listeners, for me selfishly, and for the guys that work on this show. I love this show. I love these guys. I love doing this show every day. And it was a badge of honor, and I was thrilled that I could do the show every single day, including Sunday shows for the last 3 months, and that the show was fun and happy and interesting, and I just loved it. But on Friday, I had to take a day off because I had to go see Little Mo. And so I thank Mraz and Bogues and Cap and Petey and Connor and everybody that pulled together to make the show happen on Friday. And I listened to it, and it was great, and they did such a great job. Because on Friday, I had to go see my friend Lil Mo. Lil Mo had called into this show when he was just 9 years old, and we were doing nights. And he was a young man in Baltimore, hardcore Orioles fan, hardcore Ravens fan. And he would listen at night, in bed, late at night, and he would call the show, and his mom wouldn't even know that he was calling. Had no idea. But Lil Mo was connected to the show. Now, for Little Mo, radio is his salvation. Little Mo has been blind since he was 9 months old. He had cancer found in his retina, and Little Mo lost his sight. And so the radio has been Little Mo's theater of the mind, which is why I've always loved radio, because it's imagination. And as you might imagine, I've got quite an active imagination. Little Mo graduated from eighth grade this month, and He is a hero in Baltimore. Little Mo has been an amazing trooper. He has spent most of his life in a hospital because he has had multiple bouts with cancer. And Mo has rallied his city around him out of the sheer power of positivity. Mo is called not only this show, but also our Baltimore radio affiliate 105.7 and become a local hero down there. He calls their radio station, talks about the Birds, talks about the Ravens, and they just love him. Absolutely love him. And how could you not? His enthusiasm and infectious personality comes through on the radio. And he's been part of fan fests for the Orioles. He threw out a first pitch for the Orioles as well. The Ravens invited him to make a draft pick, the first ever draft pick read in Braille. So Mo is just an amazing celebrity in Baltimore, and I just think the world of him. And I wanted to go and celebrate his eighth grade graduation on Friday. So the Bourbon Bell and I drove down to Baltimore on Friday and got to spend the day with Little Mo. And I just had the best time ever. And I am so thankful that Mo and his mom invited me in to their home to spend the day. And Mo and I got to play video games. He is awesome. Mo memorizes the sequence of buttons. And so he knows what to hit when. He is brilliant in this way. And so we played, I watched him play Mortal Kombat. And I played Streets of Rage with him. Streets of Rage was really fun. I was totally into it. Maybe because I used to play it when I was a kid. But it's great on the Xbox. And we got to play. I got him a Nerf football with a whistle in it so he could hear it. So we threw the ball around it. He could hear the ball, that Nerf whistler, fly through the air, which was awesome for him. Also, got him a Fortnite water gun, which was a big hit. He was able to use that on me and other friends in the yard. So that Fortnite water gun came in real handy. And we just had such a cool day, such a fun day. And I'm really blessed that I got to spend the day with Little Mo. And Mo would like me to mention that he's looking at just rebranding right now into just Mo. Okay, because he's not so little anymore. He's 14 years old. So Mo was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not so little. I'm just going to be Mo. I go, Mo, I'm with you. Let's rebrand. Let's do this. Let's just go Mo here. On Thursday, Mo is going to have his own radio show on 105.7. Jeremy Kahn, who hosts evenings down at 105.7, he's been part of that radio station for more than a decade, is such an amazing dude, and he's become one of Mo's best friends and is there all the time. And Jeremy is going to co-host with Mo a radio show from Mo's bedroom. And this is just awesome. And they're going to have tons of guests call in. If they can find time, I might call in. I told them I'm happy to jump on, but they've got bigger people than me, bigger celebrities than me that are going to call in. So I am so thrilled to listen to this. And I'll tweet out the link and post it on Facebook as well so that you guys know how you can listen to what I'd like to call Faux Show with Mo coming up on Thursday on 105.7. So it was just an amazing day, and I just had such a thrill hanging out with Mo. And I asked Mo, you know, Mo, would you mind doing an interview so I could play it on the show? And he was like, oh, of course. Now, you got to understand Mo. Mo was once part of an event at his school, okay, and 105.7 came by, and a couple of the hosts from 105.7 came to his Baltimore middle school. Mo grabbed the mic, and they couldn't get the mic back from Mo, okay? Mo was shouting out his friends, telling stories, telling jokes. I mean, this dude has personality for days. And so what I said, would you mind doing an interview? Oh, absolutely. Where do you need me? What do you want? Put the microphone on me, DA. Let's do this. So this was me and Mo on Friday. And I just wanted to talk to Mo about all this amazing attention that he's gotten by graduating from middle school. He had a couple of parades for him. I mean, I was there on Friday. And there was Baltimore Orioles players that had been there before me earlier in the morning. I mean, this is how popular this young man is, for what an inspiration that he is. So here is my conversation with Mo.
All right, so Little Mo, Thursday, it's going to be a big day for you, huh, buddy?
Yeah, pretty big day.
You're going to have your own radio show?
Yeah.
105.7 The Game here in Baltimore is going to be broadcasting from your bedroom?
Yep.
Are you nervous at all?
I'm not really.
You're not really nervous at all about anything, are you?
No, not really. Not at all.
You're comfortable just going on the radio and grabbing the microphone?
Yeah. I like speaking into the microphone.
But did you always like that?
For a little bit, it was kind of hard for me because of all the people that were watching me. But now it's not hard.
Man, when you called on my radio show, you seemed so comfortable, so happy.
Yeah, cause there, like, I was in my house doing it. There weren't other people listening to me other than the people listening on the radio. But there weren't like thousands of people around me, so I felt pretty good about it.
You must have felt good to have those parades, huh?
Yeah, I felt pretty special having those parades because I didn't know that many people would come out to support me.
Can you believe that you had people from the Orioles and the Ravens and the police shut down your street? That's pretty amazing.
It's crazy. I didn't think all that would happen.
What was your favorite part about the parades?
Just seeing all the people that came out, and most of the people were like my elementary school teachers came out too. Like my fifth grade elementary school teacher, my second grade elementary school teacher, even my principal came out, and my elementary school principal came out, my elementary school counselor came out. So a lot of people came out just to support me, and it felt really cool.
Yeah. Well, everybody loves you so much. Why do you think everybody loves you so much?
I think it's just because of my attitude. I always stay positive. I think that's the reason why.
Do you have to try to stay positive, or are you just naturally a positive guy?
I try to stay as positive as I can, because sometimes I'm not as positive as I usually am. So I just stay as positive as I can, and I just think positive, and it's not that hard just to think positive.
How'd you learn that?
I guess it just came to me. I guess I just thought about it myself, and it just came to me, and I just thought of just think positive, and everything will be fine.
I think a lot of people, you're right, they love that you have such a positive attitude. I think that they learn a lot of lessons from you.
Yeah. Some people might say I'm an inspiration to them.
What do you think about that when people say that?
I feel really special when they say stuff like that, because I don't feel like I'm actually inspiring them, but at the same time, I know what they're talking about when they say that I inspire them. Like, they think I can, like, they think when I do stuff really cool that makes them... It just makes them happy that I'm doing stuff, I guess.
Anybody inspire you?
Definitely. Well, a lot of people inspire me, but mostly my mom, because she's been there for me all this time. Because it's been a long road that we've had, and she's just been there for me ever since it started. I don't like being around the hateful people, because that just makes me feel sad, and I feel like people can change. I just wish people like the hateful people could change their ways and be more loving.
Yeah, how do you think we can teach hateful people to be more loving?
Just tell them to just love one another, and like, love your kids, love your family, just love everything, and just try not to have too much hate, and just have enough hate to the point where you're not getting so angry you want to do something crazy or anything like that.
Now, you're only 14 years old, but these are pretty wise lessons, and how'd you get so smart?
Like, some people have been like helping me out, like my uncles and my aunts and obviously my mom. She's been helping me out too. They just been telling me stuff that like they just been telling me that they love me, and I just think if you love one another, then the world will be a better place.
Do you know that I love you?
Yeah.
All right. As long as you know that.
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Is it amazing that you have professional athletes like the Ravens and the Orioles that look up to you?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I don't think any other person has an athlete that looks up to them. So this is crazy.
You always are laughing too. I think that's an important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, cause a lot of people need to laugh every once in a while. Yeah, not a lot of people like to laugh, but I think laughter is the best medicine.
You got that right. Laughing makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, would you say that your life has been hard? Would you say it's been amazing? Would you say it's been a little bit of both?
It's been a little bit of both, yeah. I say it's been a little bit of both because of all the treatments I've been going through. That's the hardest bit. But, like, all the people that support me, that's been the amazing part of it.
Yeah. I mean, to feel that love from everybody must be a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't ever feel that many people that love them so much. Right. Even total strangers love you.
Exactly. And most of these people that are supporting me, I don't even know. but they know me, and that's just the crazy part of it. They know me, but I don't know them.
Well, what's amazing is that you are making them happy.
Yeah.
Could you believe that?
I can believe that. I don't know how I'm making them happy. I guess it's just because I'm happy, or maybe it's just the way I, maybe it's just my attitude that I always stay positive. I don't know how I make people happy, but I'm glad I'm doing it.
So you're doing amazing things.
Yeah. It's starting to really sink into me about how many people I've touched over the past couple years, and it's really crazy.
I mean, you got a radio station coming to your bedroom to do a radio show.
Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of people who call in. That's the phone lines are going to be packed.
So why don't you just give Mraz whatever you want to tell him?
Hey, Mraz. I heard the show that you lost to in the chicken challenge. It's okay. I can't eat that much chicken either.
But he's a chubbo. He should have been able to eat all that.
Yeah, I thought he would be able to eat that many chicken wings too. But turned out he flunked it. He flunked the test.
Okay, so before we cut off the interview, I want you to tell people what you've learned throughout all of this. What do you think people should know?
Well, what I think people should know, I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine, and nothing bad is gonna happen if you think positive and just think positive, stay positive, and breathe, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good. Not too much hate. There's a lot of love, but just not too much hate. Not too much hate to the point where you're hating everything. Just enough hate so you just don't go crazy.
Like maybe you hate the Steelers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. That is good. That's good.
I had an amazing day with little Mo on Friday. So I thank him and his mom for letting me spend some time with him. And I thank the guys here on the show for letting me have that day off so I could do that. That meant a lot to me from both ends. So I was so, so thrilled to be able to spend that time with Mo.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Mraz is convinced that posting a ton of pictures on Facebook and Instagram is going to be smart in 50 years because that's going to be his photo album. So we ask you guys, will Instagram be around in 50 years to be the photo album of our dogs and babies? On Twitter, 73% said no. On Facebook, 79% said no. So most of you do not believe in a half century Instagram's going to be around to be our photo album. So bad news for Mraz. Instagram, by the way, hit 1 billion monthly users in June of last year, 2 years ago, actually. Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion in 2012. Remember that? Instagram is now valued at more than $100 billion. So it rose in cost or value from $1 billion in 2012 to $100 billion 8 years later. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. The great Bobby V controversy of 2020.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail. Vocal combat.
I am doing, in essence, every single thing I usually do, with the exception of putting together the cold open. When we switched to mornings in January, DA, now get this one. The one thing Pete took on extra was putting together sound check. What did we just hear? We heard sound check.
Well done.
Pete, ask me, I want you to answer. Who put together sound check today? Was it you or
Connor? First of all, that did not happen in January. I did not get the responsibility of putting together sound check. So
yes,
that's
you
in your little mind.
No, you
second
did.
Second of all, nope, that did not happen, so let's go back and take a look at that.
Fight.
Just
also,
answer the question, Pete.
You're supposed to put together the podcasts for the hours, and you don't
so
do
you
that.
Dance around the question. See, this is if I was you right now dancing around the question, I would be assaulted by DA. The difference was we started coming in now an hour before the show instead of 2 hours before the show or an hour and a half because it was tighter time doing the morning, and you said, I'm going to take on soundcheck.
I did not
now
say
that. We're
that.
Out of the
what
studio,
are you talking about?
Destruction.
That's what we were doing before the pandemic. You were making sound check.
I was not
and now
making
you're
sound
not.
Check.
And
you
now
gotta go back into your records, buddy.
You buddied me?
Yeah.
Pete, you do less now without
oh,
the sound check.
Oh, I do
check.
Less. Okay. All right. I'm not here tomorrow.
That's not what I mean. I mean, you're having Connor do the sound check, and he made a mistake with Bobby V, and you're putting that on me.
I don't see your fat ass coming in here to work in the studio. I don't see you getting up off the chair. You're constantly going to get your Special K and your breakfast.
Finish him.
I've had enough of you, all right? So unless you want to come in, don't bother me or Connor.
This feels
had it with
serious.
You.
I mean, so anybody real. Else want to care to mediate here, or are you just going to leave us out on an island? I'm acknowledging there was a mistake made by me not reading soundcheck. Hands up, I should have read it. But there is no acknowledgement from back in that studio that they mailed it in by putting Bobby V in without thinking, oh, yeah, he's
oh,
bad.
Oh, we mailed it in. Okay. All right, let's see Thursday and Friday.
Somebody call the Boulder Fire Department. Victory.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Man, that was an all-timer. That was great. What a great segment. What a great fail. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you? What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tom in Florida says, DA, did you ever think you'd hear Pete the Body call Mraz a fat ass? I did not think it was going to come today, but I did think we would potentially see it. That's your question of the day. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Kaplan, Andrew Bogish, and Connor Green. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow for Trash Tuesday, the Mothership Disconnect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.